All right, here we go. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. We're broadcasting once again from deep, deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for listening. It's much appreciated. Before we get into this one, a couple of little business points to go over. This is the Monday episode, so this one goes out to the, quote, network, you know. This one's available to anyone that wants to listen to it. As I record this, the show is now in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, which I think are the four major players in the podcast world. So I think we're in pretty good shape. It's also at a lot of smaller places, including like the one I have on my phone, the app I use for podcasts, which is called Pocket Cast. It's in there too, so it's starting to seep out into the world, which is fantastic. So that's great. If you have if you use an app for podcasting and you don't see the show there, send me a quick email and I'll see if I can, you know, try to take care of that. I can't get into iHeartRadio yet, and I can't get into Spotify. I don't know if anybody uses Spotify for podcasts, but I don't know. Anyway, I can't get in there until we have five of these in the can. So you know, once I pass that threshold, I'll try to get on the Spotify as well. But anyway, if you have an app on your phone that you use for podcast and you don't see the show there, send me a quick email at jeff@thewbsr.com, and I will see what I can do about plugging that hole. I'm one hole plugging son of a bitch, you know. So also, I also wanted to mention that there's, in addition to this Monday show, there's also a Thursday show, which is very similar. It's the same show. It's 30 minutes, exactly like this one, and it goes out. It's for patrons at patreon.com/JeffK. That means people who go there and they decided to, you know, support my efforts, which are, you know, podcasting, various websites, including the West Virginia Surf Report, which is my home base. And I'm trying to write another book, I'm, you know, not going great, but it's something. I'm working on it. Maybe give me 10 years and maybe I'll have it out. I'm going to have a first draft. But anyway, so Patreon's a place you can go and support artists, or, you know, artists, like air quotes around it in my case. But you can go there and you can support people's efforts. So if you choose to do that for me at the level of $4 a month or more, you get access to both shows. You get the Monday show, which is out there for everybody, plus you get the Thursday show. So it's double the Jeff K. So, you know, it's up to you, but it's available. Some of the Thursday show includes the Whistle Dick of the Week, which is an ongoing feature. So if you want to hear the Whistle Dick of the Week, you got to go Thursday. You got to go big. So anyway, so if you have any questions about that, you know, stick them in the comments or shoot me an email and I'll try to answer. Okay, moving on to the main part of the program today. I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and you know how people just say stuff that's just like pre-programmed. You know, it's like for instance, I mean, they just have these like cliches, I guess. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of the same thing, but I try not to be. I try to be conscious of this kind of stuff, but most people just say stuff like robots. Like they say things when, you know, in reaction to stuff. And I mean, I can't think of one of the ones that really irritates me is like it's like, you know, it's going to be raining all weekend. The weatherman's predicting rain all weekend, and then somebody 100% of the time will say, "Yeah, but we need it." Who needs it? Who needs it? What, for the crops? Who needs the rain? I mean, but we need it. Okay, Mr. Green Jeans. I mean, why do we need it? See, that's just one of these things that people just say. They think it makes them sound. I don't want to psychoanalyze it, but that irritates me because that's a 100%er. You know, every time somebody mentions that it's going to rain, and they start complaining about the rain, and then somebody always jumps in and says, "Yeah, but we need it." Yes, you can pack that up your ass. Anyway, so, but this is a similar thing. I hear this all the time. I was talking to some people, and somebody said, "You know, I wish I had had the real college experience, like living on living in dorms, living on campus, that kind of thing." People say that. That's one of those things people say. I didn't have that experience either. I've spent exactly 0 minutes regretting it. I mean, whatever, you know. You have the experiences that come along. That's not one of them that I'm sure I would have botched it anyway. People say that. Do they really? I mean, this person seemed like anguished that they had never experienced the, quote, real college experience. I don't know, whatever. So I started thinking about my old college experience. I went to two colleges, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Harvard and Yale or anything like that, like George W. Bush, you know, that imbecile, that fool, that bumbling fool that graduated from Harvard and Yale, you know, the guy that was like Harvard, Yale, multimillionaire, twice elected governor of Texas, twice elected president, you know, that fool. That guy that the guy down at Payless Shoes, you know, calls a fool. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It wasn't like that. I went to this place called West Virginia State College. Now it's a university. I think it's West Virginia State University, which is weird. But anyway, I'm not qualified to speak about that place. I have no idea. I went there for like a year and a half, maybe. And let's see. It was like 82/83. So that was a long, long time ago. And, you know, I went into the thing. It was like, it was literally a situation where I don't know what I'm going to do. So I guess I should just go to school, you know? I mean, that's, you know, it's not like I went into it with this, you know, drive or this need to succeed or anything like that. I went into it with, well, I guess this is what I got to do now, you know. And it was like 13th grade early, and I don't want to disparage the college, because it was mostly me. I mean, it was, you know, you could go there. I'm sure you could go there and get a good education if you had the right mindset, which I did not. I was a mess, you know. When I was that age, I mean, I was just a walking disaster. So, but I signed up for classes. I didn't know anything about anything. I think I declared my major as business administration, which I didn't even know what that meant, really. You know, sounded good. It was something to write into the slot there. And I started taking classes, and I mean, what? My heart wasn't in it. I'd had enough, you know, enough. It's like 13 years of this crap, you know, 13th grade. And so I started out with the best of intentions, although my heart wasn't in it, but I, you know, money was being paid by somebody, I guess my parents. And so I needed to go in there and try to do the best. That lasted maybe like 2 months. And then I just started, you know, skipping. I wasn't going to class half the time. You know, I'd go, I'd tell my parents, all right, I'm going to school. I'd leave with a notebook under my arm. Throw my note, as soon as I got in the car, I'd throw the notebook in the back seat, go straight to Budget Tapes and Records, and, you know, hang around and talk to Barry and, you know, John, who, by the way, still works there. Can you believe that? That's pretty cool. He's still, Budget Tapes and Records still open, and John still works there. Pretty awesome. So, anyway, I wasn't going to class, and I'd go sometimes, but it was like a 50-50 situation. My parents didn't know what was going on. They thought I was going to school every day. But I wasn't. And then I'd go over there and look at records for a little while, shoot the shit, head on over to Taco Bell, you know, get me a healthy lunch. And, you know, just kind of like stretch it out as far as if I'd gone to class, you know, I'd stay out of the house that long, and then I'd go back and go, woof, man, I got a lot on my plate, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I'd have like records in the trunk of my car that I would sneak in later, you know, that I bought. So anyway, it was mostly my fault. And I don't even remember. There's not much stuff I even remember about that year and a half. I think I went a year, and I think I went three semesters to that place before I pulled the plug on it. But there's not a whole lot I remember about it. But there are a few memories that are, you know, foggy memories. One of them was this English class that I had. And there's a couple things that happened in there. The woman who ran it seemed pretty cool, and she seemed to like me okay until I wrote this paper, and I can't remember what it was about, but she didn't like the subject matter. She didn't grade me on the writing. She graded me on my choice of subject matter. It was something to do with some kind of, you know, some shenanigans that I was involved in, so she didn't like that. She didn't like the subject matter, I felt that was unfair. She gave me like an F just because she didn't like what I was writing about. She wasn't grading the writing itself, so I felt that was unfair. Also, there was this guy at the beginning of the year. He came in there with overalls. He was like older. He was like probably pushing 30. He was wearing overalls, and he was like real talkative, and he was, you know, loud and rambunctious, and he was straight off some farm somewhere, I don't even know, and he'd give these big, long speeches, like, this is a great opportunity, you know, I'm the first person in my family to ever go to college, and, you know, I'm so proud to be here, and like all this stuff, which is, you know, that's fine, but then we were talking about writing and reading and, you know, books and stuff. And he kept talking about how the writer, he always called him the writer, Stephen King, that's what he called him. He said the writer, Stephen King, you know, changed his life, basically. I mean, old Stephen, he turned this guy, he like turned a light bulb on inside this guy's head. So anyway, he would pontificate about Stephen King the writer Stephen King all the time in class. He lasted about maybe like 2 weeks, and he was out. They shit canned him. They sent him down like to like an 099 class or something like that, because he couldn't write, you know. But anyway, I don't know. I think he was like barely literate. Well, I seemed like a nice guy, but you know, he was. I guess he was literate if he was reading the writer Stephen King. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? The guy got shit canned. He got demoted. So I remember that. I also remember some kind of like sociology class where this woman came in, was speaking to us about all the hidden racism in TV. And the only thing I remember is she said that on The Jeffersons, the old TV show The Jeffersons, the people that lived upstairs, their friends, it was like a white man and a black woman. And the black woman, by the way, was the mother of Lenny Kravitz. You know what I'm saying? In real life. But anyway, they lived upstairs. So she said that the fact that the white person lived one floor above the black couple, that was a little racist Easter egg, like, hidden in there. And I was like, oh, brother. You know, I didn't know anything. But, you know, I was just back there like, oh, my God. Are you serious? Of course, this is an internal dialogue. But I can remember that. And she gave a bunch of other examples. But the only one I remember is the Jeffersons, you know. Was it Tom Willis or something? Helen and Tom or something? How do I remember that? Anyway, they lived upstairs, one floor up, I believe, and that is straight-up racism. You know, by that that well-known racist Norman Lear, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I remember that. I also remember I had a photography class. I just like signed up. I had no plan. I had no idea. I didn't know who my if I had any kind of advisor or anybody. I probably did, but I didn't know who these people are. I don't know how to get a hold of them. I didn't know what they did. I don't know what their function is. I didn't know what classes I that were required for my quote degree. You know, I just like went down the list and like, that sounds pretty cool. I'll take that class. So I took photography, and it was fun. The guy was pretty good, and he was like an older man. And I can remember in there he made one of those pinhole cameras where he basically took a shoebox and somehow concocted this thing out of like, I don't know, he MacGyvered the bitch, you know. And just stuff laying around the room. And he was like snapping photos with a shoebox of the campus, which I thought that was pretty damn cool. I mean, that was pretty awesome. But the thing about that class is I thought it was going to be, you know, about photography, but it turned into like science and mathematics and stuff. It's like f-stops and all this stuff. The thing became super confusing and math heavy. So I that was one of the classes that I, you know, I was usually down at budget, you know, instead of going to class. And I can remember the final. I think it was when they were having the final. I hadn't been to class in many weeks, but I knew when the final test was happening somehow. And for some reason, I felt like huge anxiety. Should I go in there and try to take the final, try to see if I can pass the thing, even though I haven't been in class for weeks? And, I had this massive anxiety about this for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why this particular class, but I had like, you know, I felt really guilty about it for some reason. And it bothered me. And I don't think I ended up going because I would have, you know, I didn't know the material, you know. So, but to this day, this seems bizarre to me, but to this day, and this was 82 or 83, so what's that, 18 plus like 36 years ago, and I still occasionally have a dream about that, where I, you know, I have to go to that photography class for the final exam, and I don't know the material, you know. 36 years later. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens maybe like twice a year. I have that dream. That's weird, you know. So I didn't go. I got an incomplete or a failure. I don't remember. I got a lot of F's, a lot of I's, you know, because my heart wasn't in it. But anyway, so that's, I remember that. And then the most vivid memory from my you know, storied career, my storied time there at West Virginia State was when I had this filmmaking class. My friend Rocky was in the class with me. I used to give Rocky, he was a friend of mine from way back, and we were basically, he was a lunatic, you know, and we did a lot of drinking together. He was a blast, you know, hilarious. And he was a fellow knucklehead, although he was a little bit more, you know, serious about things, you know, academically than I was at that point. But, you know, we were fellow travelers for sure. And I used to give him a ride to work, or no, a ride to school every day. And he was actually in my filmmaking class. We made a film together, which, by the way, we showed the rough cut of this thing. It was supposed to be a chase film where it was silent. It was 8mm. So this is how long ago it was. It was on 8mm film, and it was like 3 or 4 minutes long. I can't remember. And it had to be, something had to be chasing something, you know, that's what it was. So it was a chase film, and he and I made this film together, and it was hilarious. The thing was thing brought down the house. I mean, people loved it, and it was just the rough cut. So then we get into the thing where you have to edit it, And, screw that. Man, that's work. So that never got done. So I still have the film somewhere. It's probably down in the basement. But the thing was hilarious. It was really good. For a 4-minute silent 8mm film made by a couple of, semi-drunk knuckleheads. But anyway, Rocky was in there. But listen to this. This guy, the guy who, the professor, I don't remember his name. I don't remember much. The very first day, he looked like some kind of like, he looked like he was like real wired. He was like full of energy, kind of crazed, his hair was all messed up, but in a cool college professor kind of way, and on the very first day, he made some kind of comment about Jerry's kids, as he called them, which is, from the Jerry Lewis telethon, muscular dystrophy, I guess. People used to call, anybody was like, any kind of like physical or mental problems, they used to call them Jerry's kids, which is, not cool, really. But this guy was a college professor, and he made some kind of comment about Jerry's kids, and he starts flailing his arms around and rolling his eyes and like making noises. I was like, holy crap, man. I mean, I was a connoisseur of the inappropriate, still am, and I get great joy out of inappropriate stuff, but there's a time and a place, and it can't be. I mean, this guy's a college professor, he was on paper anyway, and he's like doing all this flailing around business, super inappropriate. So I remember that, and I remember everybody loving our chase film, and then some crazy shit happened. The guy, as it turns out, was like a cocaine freak, from what I understand. The guy was like on coke, and he just like took a bunch of cameras and stuff from the college and just like skipped the state. Man, he just left. He took a whole bunch of equipment that was worth money and just like took off in the middle of the night some night. So somebody came in, talked to us, and told us, yeah, we're just going to give everybody an A in this class. You don't have to come anymore. I think that's the way I remember it. Anyway, so the guy like skipped town with a bunch of equipment, That guy was a complete freak. Also, he had this big box in his in the classroom of these old TV guides from the 1960s. They had like Bewitched on the cover, and Andy Griffith Show, Green Acres, all these shows from the 60s. Big giant box of them. Probably like maybe like 150 copies of old TV guides. And I don't know, he showed them to us one time, and he just like stuck them back up in the closet. I don't know why they were there. Who knows? But after he left town, the guy came in and told us, he's done. So I went in and grabbed that box, stuck it in the trunk of my car. Still have it. It's down in the basement. Anyway, and the final story I want to tell you is also involving Rocky. One day, this is a crazy one. One day we skipped class and we just went to Rocky's house and we were drinking Five Alive and vodka. I wasn't really a liquor kind of guy, and I still am not a liquor kind of guy. But that day we were drinking vodka and Five Alive at Rocky's house, and we were the only two there. And Rocky, for some reason, it didn't affect me all that much. I could feel a buzz, but I certainly wasn't drunk. But Rocky, on the other hand, he was smashed. He quickly got smashed, and he started acting like a lunatic. He went over there. He goes, let's go out, let's go out on the patio. He goes over there and he like starts yanking on the sliding glass door, and the thing's locked or something. And he somehow gets the thing off the track. The whole door is like wedged kind of sideways, and he's yanking on it. And the handle comes off, and he falls back, into this giant, like, bookshelf full of houseplants. So he, like, yanks this door. He's got the thing completely off its track, yanks the handle clean off, and he falls into this bookshelf. The bookshelf tips forward. All these plants are just like, there's, like, broken pottery all over. There's, like, deep, like, 3-inch deep piles of dirt, plants all over the living room, you know. And he's like, oh shit, man, help me get this thing cleaned up. So we put the bookshelf back up, and we start trying to clean up. He gets the vacuum cleaner out, and I said, Rocky, you can't. He starts getting ready to start trying to vacuum up all that dirt. They were like piles that were thick, you know. I said, you can't vacuum that stuff up. You're insane. So he just tells me to shove it or whatever. He plugs the thing in. He starts vacuuming up like great piles of dirt. Within seconds, there's like smoke rolling. You know, the thing's about ready to catch on fire. There's all kinds of noise. It smells like an electrical fire in there. There's smoke coming up. And the thing makes some loud grinding noise, and a big piece of metal comes off the bottom of the thing, and he's like yelling at me, you know, fuck you, Jeff, you know, and I had nothing in it, you know, and I'm trying to help the guy. The guy's just like out of control, you know, so I just said, all right, I'll see ya, and I left. I went home, and later that night. Or, you know, a few days later, he told me that his sister had come home from high school and found him, like, passed out half in the kitchen, half in the living room with the vacuum cleaner on its side, dirt everywhere. Huh, what a guy. You know, I went home. I don't know. There's more to the story, but we're almost at the end of this thing. But that's the main part of that thing. He was always fun to do stuff with, Rocky. I need to check in with him, see how he's doing. He's a good guy. But anyway, we're at the end of this one. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back on Thursday with another of the Patreon episodes. Hop on over there and sign up, baby. Until then, I'm going to call it a day. So thanks again. I'll see you Thursday. Bye.